Podcasting is a complicated profession, which is why we're here to discuss The Bad Batch, Season 3, currently airing on Disney+. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by my fellow co-hosts, High and M Count. Kat Benish is here. Hi, Kat.
Wasn't sure which one you're going to go to. You were going back and forth, and I think which one.
I've been trying to switch every episode. I try to go back and forth. I try to alternate.
You're not very good at it.
No, yeah. No, go back and listen. This season, I've been really good at it.
Mm. Babe, we're in like episode 3.
We're less farther along than that. This is episode 9 of this show.
Anyways, I don't have a high M
count,
or do
I?
We're not sure. Mm. We're not sure if I have an high M count.
You are standing on one leg on a rock.
I know. I'm very good at that. And running uphills to grab flowers.
These tests seem unscientific.
Yeah. Okay. So,
wait. Can I introduce Tony?
yeah, go for it. Then I'm going to interrupt immediately afterwards.
Tony Sindelar is also here. Hi, Tony. Would you like to filibuster before Kat can take the stage?
No. I think whatever energy Kat is bringing is what people tune in for. Hello, nerds. Me, Tony Sindelar. I guess I feel like I'm about to introduce a Dungeons & Dragons character I played, but that is a different podcast.
Are you going to secretly turn it into a Total Party Kill episode?
Let's talk about Strahd.
What if we started playing the Star Wars role-playing game inside this podcast?
Ooh. One round
no,
a week.
You guys can save that tangent. We're doing my tangent first. In A Phantom Menace, and I crucially remember this from watching something.
The Phantom Menace?
The Phantom Menace. Or is it A Phantom Menace? Or is it was the Phantom Menace.
Yeah, why you did said you... Why did you...
You said In A Phantom Menance, okay, and I was very confused.
Stop distracting me.
Oh, sorry. Was I derailing your derailing?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyways. Dan, your job is not to derail.
I'm bringing new energy
here
tonight.
Yeah, I don't... Are all of you in cough medicine? What is going on, Kat?
I'm mostly obviously, okay.
Well, I'm not. Kat, you were telling us important things.
Yeah, so Dan, in the movie, The Phantom Menace, from what?
A Phantom Menace,
1999? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was still in middle school. Not to make you feel old. No, more importantly...
I was almost born. Time goes that way.
No, so I do remember, it's like one of the few things I remember from that movie is the fact that... So Qui-Gon Jinn, the prop he uses to, I think it might have been a communicator, but I think it was to test the M-Count, is essentially a Gillette Schtick razor for women, because they assume women can't hold tiny little things, they make them nice, big, and bulky. It's like, that's absurd. They didn't last that long. But anyways.
I just want to, because you're talking about that's absurd in reality, not in the Star Wars world.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Well, I would counterpoint.
I just want to be clear which thing you're critiquing at a given moment. Right now, that was a side tangent.
The two things that are
modern culture.
No.
Now you're back into Star Wars.
It's a totally fair point for me to clip up here. So I am critiquing both this was the first time. This is the point where I realized that maybe this wasn't a good movie. Was the realizing
this
the,
time
in creation the creation of midichlorians.
Dan, zip it.
And two, the thank you. Dan is showing me the comlink.
I'm well aware of it.
That is essentially just a, I think it's Gillette. It might have been
a Gillette.
Razor. So the absurd part is the fact that they made those wide razors for women in the real world.
My counterpoint
and then
is
the
maybe...
comlinks are, the testing is absurd in the Star Wars world. And both those things are absurd. And that every time they talk about M count, that's what I think of. I think of that damn scene with Qui-Gon Jinn in The Phantom Menace.
Sorry,
20 years ago.
I just started thinking about Qui-Gon Jinn again, which we pitched last in the Kenobi season. We talked about Qui-Gon should sell Qui-Gon Jinn.
I did not remember how he affirmed that Anakin had a high
M count.
It's a
blood test.
I just kind of assumed that Jedi Masters should be able to
wiggle
their hands over your forehead and tell. I always remember that in one of the X-Wing novels, which are not canon anymore, they find an M count. They don't call it that. But they find an M count scanner, because I think this is before we had the word midichlorian.
Which one's that?
I don't remember. All I know is that it's like the Wedge. I think finds it and is very excited to know that he is not a Jedi.
Yeah, or that might have been the Qui-Gon Jinn ones.
And he's like, woo, don't need that going for me.
So this is the question of why does Ventress have to do all those tests? Well, she can't just test her blood.
So
I actually have a headcanon for that, but I don't know if Tony's got actual canon.
No, I just have commentary on this episode, which is...
Oh, should we talk about this episode?
Well, I mean, that is nominally what we do here on this podcast.
Nominally.
Mainly, I don't understand how this episode got, released.
Really?
Interesting.
Yes, or made, because basically nothing happens in it. It's like, I mean, it's basically, here is an episode to kind of like talk to us a little bit, but, and we really wanted Ventress to come back. And, but other than that, it's like all filler.
I actually kind of like this
episode. I really liked it. Yeah.
I didn't really like it. Okay. I didn't really like it, but I enjoyed it. I thought,
I thought there's moments in it that I like, you know, even I, you know, you can't, if you get mad when a giant monster shows up, you should not be watching Bad Batch, basically.
Because incredibly rare and endangered species, I would just like to point out, because my headcanon.
A horrible squid turtle that is apparently not that violent, but maybe got stirred up by fish getting swum around.
Legitimately, I feel bad for the turtle. The space grease turtle, which is like minding its own business, gets woken up, gets attacked, and then it's like,
loses a tentacle. Those don't regrow unless they do.
But yeah, so I think what I enjoyed most about this episode, jump to the very end, sure, we can do a recap, that's fine, was the fact that we walked out of it thinking, does she have a mem count?
Frustrates me is we get to the very end and Asajj Ventress is like, and now I'm going to say some words, and Crosshair is like, you're lying, and she's like, am I? Wink. And it's like, well, yeah, why would you?
Well, so here's my feeling on this episode. One, A, it's gorgeous, as every episode this season is. I kind of liked it. It felt like a little bit more like a, had kind of a samurai movie vibe to me, where like it's a lot of it is like stuff that is not said on screen, and like it's very moody, it's very like kind of atmospheric. I agree with you, there's not a plot development thing, but like at the same time, watching the interactions of those characters, I found captivating.
Love that they had a whole like battle while like Omega has her run all the way to the tree and back, and like, okay, now that she's gone, let's fight. That was awesome.
Well, and they it is an interesting battle, because it's great. Like, do we want to be having this battle? Can anyone here talk to each other? We don't actually need to be having the battle. We're not going to use weapons. We're just going to be punching each other. And then Hunter pulls a knife, and then they get their guns, Hunter, and then the lightsaber. So it is one of those classic battles in kind of comic book genre media, where it's like the fight is the conversation, and like, you guys are all idiots and can't talk to each other.
Yes.
And you know, there is a lot of that. I mean, I think this episode is a like, there is a like taking a breath. And I think back to even like how it starts, where they're like, Hunter and Crosshair are helping some fisher person load on like a boat, right?
And we like, never saw them again. I was sure we were going to see them again.
Wrecker and Crosshair, I apologize. Yeah. And like, Wrecker is like, go catch fish. And Crosshair is like, I'm Crosshair. And it's like, well, Crosshair, why are you helping load crates onto a boat if you're going to be a jerk? And it's like, it doesn't have anything to do with anything. And it kind of sets the tone that like, this whole episode is just like a little bit of treading water. I think it was just, to me, the bringing back Asajj Ventress felt
just completely fan servicey. I can understand why such a big thing in the
I have two thoughts.
We don't have time for that. We've got to move on. No, please.
I give you one. Get one, Dan.
No, I'm curious about two. Actually, you're now required to give me three different reasons.
I've all forgotten all of them now. I think one of the interesting things, coming out of this, I thought to myself, I don't think we've seen the last of her. I think this is the beginning of her.
If we have seen the last of her, that is a complete waste of a character.
I would agree with that. Yeah. Like, I think this show seems too smart to bring somebody back just because they think the fan, especially a character who, spoilers, in canon to this point, had been dead, like, supposedly.
We get the one line about, I have more lives.
Dead in a book, though, not dead on screen.
A canon book.
Though.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, but it's a book. Who reads books these days?
Yeah, books, filthy words on paper, those aren't real, like, images on the screen.
What I'm also talking about is, I'm currently very stressed at work and everything, so I've read something like 20 books already this calendar year. Mm-hmm. I've read many books.
Were any of them Dark Disciples?
Maybe you should make that one next.
No, that's the
book she dies in. So, spoiler, apparently she gets better. Unless this is like a time-traveling ghost or something.
Did they just decanonize the book?
No, it's unclear. That's the whole thing. We don't know. And I think this is the other part of it. This is my other thought that has to do with it. Is
this like an example of how Disney is falling apart? And we use this example of like,
oh yeah, do you want to be an angry person on the internet? Is that what you're listening
to? Yeah, do we now have a Disney Kremlinology corner on this podcast? Is that what we're converting to?
Less of a corner, more of a niche.
So sorry, you were saying your second idea.
It's not an idea. It's a thought. I'm processing.
Manifesto.
One thing that is left very vague in this, and again, I think it's on purpose,
where did the turtle come from?
Is why is Ventress helping?
Mm.
And I think that's key to this.
But she got betrayed by...
But like, you know, just because you get betrayed doesn't mean like, okay, I guess I'll help random Jedi kid now.
And I will, like, I will hunt down the coordinates to these people that are cloning, that are hiding, and I will go there and I will hang out in a cave.
But let's, like, until, can I... Like, can
until
I
an unattended child comes to me, and then I will belittle them about their bad guys.
I mean, so far, inconsistent with Asajj Ventress as a character.
But Darth Maul, right? He gets, quote-unquote, he doesn't even get betrayed. He just gets cut in half.
Oh,
then...
he gets betrayed several times.
That is the ultimate betrayal of your spot. No, but yeah.
But like,
he gets cut in half.
He gets cut in half. And he's like, I'm taking down the Sith. Like, his entire arc is based on the fact he falls down a pit.
Yes.
Right?
You're not
wrong. I'm not here to defend Darth Maul as a character.
Changed my mind.
The most interesting thing about Darth Maul is, where did he get those lovely robot legs? Because those are sweet.
They are sweet.
Yeah. For those who haven't seen, please watch Clone Wars. Or
yep. Clone Wars. So I feel like this is the setup for another shoe that is to drop.
Or a show that's due to drop.
Yeah, that's true. Because we have this character who, you know, is brought in from the canon. Either you're somebody who's been watching Clone Wars and you're like, oh, you know, the character I loved from Clone Wars, or was really, you know, interested in from
character
Clone Wars.
Character I loved from Clone Wars. Are there any, like, real big, like, Ventress stands out there?
Oh, yes.
Really?
100%.
Oh, yeah.
Did not
people
really.
Love it. They Grey Jedi? Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. It's
thing. That's big.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so I feel like dropping her in with no explanation of where she's been and why she's here feels like I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt on that one, because they have shown themselves to be pretty capable at storytelling, and this would be really weird to me and off, like, you know, out of character to have them drop in somebody and not and be like, yep, and that was it. It was just a cameo.
I wouldn't. Yeah, I agree with you. I would not put it past.
Okay, she comes back, I think that, I guess that a lot of how one reads this episode hangs on whether she returns or not.
I feel like they could bring her back, but I'm not sure they're necessarily going to advance her plot any further, because I feel like they should have done that then in this.
Well,
and there weren't a lot of questions
plot,
asked either.
Yeah, what is her plot? They're basically like, why are you here? And it's like, I'm going to say something evasive and, you know, twirl my mustache.
What I like about this character is that she has ended up basically where Ahsoka is, but coming from the other end.
Well, I think
but
actually
mean.
I was actually thinking when she was fighting the Clone Wars, it actually reminded me of Ahsoka's fighting style. I have no ability to actually compare it, but I actually was getting very strong Ahsoka vibes from that. And also, what's your third theory?
The one I have to invent right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's a clone. That was the first thing that came to mind.
That's no.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, we know the last time we see her on screen, she has become a bounty hunter after she has parted ways with Dooku.
Yeah, but everybody,
I have zero
everybody
recollection
spends
of
a,
this.
Everybody this? Spends a summer Clone bounty Wars. Hunting in Star Wars the yeah. world. You know,
it's late on in the Clone Wars episode, season 5.
Doesn't she cross?
She tries
paths
to
with
catch
Ahsoka
after Ahsoka is accused of the bombing.
Yeah, in the like warehouses of. Down the
and
lower
she helps
levels,
her figure out that Barriss is the one who's behind all of that.
And it's Ventress is a former Sith, still a Sith, never a Sith.
Technically,
Sith
not a
light.
Sith.
Yeah, no, she's an assassin who is basically Count Dooku has sort of strings along, like as a
because there's the whole
you
thing
and I could
being...
always throw over Darth Sidious, maybe, but like,
but everyone's... there can only be two.
Yeah, there can only be two.
But there can only be several pairs of two.
Yeah,
well, several pairs of twos. She is she? Do we know that she is connected to the Night Sisters? Right.
Yes.
So she's that doesn't necessarily mean that you are from Dathomir. Or
I believe
can you...
she is.
Or does that just mean you get to you summered there?
Everything summer. Summer of Bounty Hunter, summer of Dathomir.
Drank the weird soup that they make you drink to do stuff. And then I forget, doesn't the Emperor basically say, like, sentence her to death force Dooku to, like, disown her
or
something?
Yes, he basically, again, like, with the constant machinations between all the Sith, like, they basically...
That sounds exhausting.
Dooku has to... like cut her loose, because otherwise,
and
is
that
Emperor's
then where everybody's favorite Star Wars name Savage Opress gets recruited to be like the next?
I don't want to relitigate Clone Wars.
Okay.
Because I don't remember very well.
That's fair.
Yeah, so coming back to this episode, I liked that it was kind of, you know, again, very tonal, very atmospheric. I loved the sunset setting for a lot of that first half is gorgeous and just interesting.
Also, the turtle changing its shell color, highlight of the episode for me. Yeah. Gorgeous.
A lot of great shot composition in bits of these. And just the animation is fantastic. I also really enjoyed the sort of, you know, getting Crosshair and Hunter and Wrecker as like the overprotective dads. The scene, there's a couple of good scenes. One where Hunter at one point like crosses his arms when talking to Ventress, and then Wrecker like looks at him and then like crosses his arms. And then the scene later on where they're all looking through the macro binoculars and Ventress looks at Wrecker and he's like, "Wow, you know, look at me."
That was great.
That was funny, and I enjoyed that. I thought that was well put together.
I enjoyed slash appreciated that Ventress did not murder the sea monster, right?
That she
well, that I mean, again, and that goes to this idea of she is maybe on
she's
a path to redemption. Yeah,
I mean, she's using a yellow lightsaber, right?
Which is also a thing we should discuss. Lightsaber colors, highly reflective of your mood, their mood rings, basically.
100%.
The bearers of yellow lightsabers include the Sentinels at the Jedi Temple.
Yep.
Noted unclear. Good.
Especially in Rebels, we see that the Grand Inquisitor was previously a temple guard. Kanan confronts a vision of the Grand Inquisitor who is wearing the mask of the Sentinel, and he wields a yellow lightsaber, which I think is intended.
Doesn't it seem like a huge waste to have Jedi being guards at the...
I've always wondered that, right? 100%. It's like,
you know, shouldn't they be out there doing stuff, not just, you know?
It's ceremonial, sort of.
Okay, it just seems like that should be, you know...
It's like compulsory military service, essentially.
Okay. They all have to do, like, a, you know...
Yeah, rotation.
They always seem a little, like... I realize there are aliens in the world, so when we say like less than human or non-human, that implies like,
well, they do have a face that covers their
but also implies that they're
face entirely
partially. What's a good way to say it? Almost robotic. I don't know. That's how I've always read the Sentinels. To me, have always felt very non-person, but much more of a thing. Could just be what I'm reading. But anyways, yellow lightsabers
and Rey would be the other one at the end of Rise of the Skywalker. Is that what it's called? Rise of Skywalker?
I think it's Rise of Skywalker. I don't think there's a the other.
Rise of Skywalker.
Phantom Menace.
Rise of Skywalker.
The Rise of Skywalker. Okay.
Which is kind of reflective of basically rejecting all the Jedi nonsense.
Which I think is kind of the short answer. I mean, like, so Ahsoka, Ahsoka's are white, which also I think has the same sort of vibe to it of like.
Yeah.
I think white, though, typically means, I find yellow to be neutral. But white to be sort of like pure beyond the definition of a Jedi.
Mm.
Right. I think because Ahsoka is always like channeling the daughter, right? Going back to, we can't do a Star Wars show without talking about the mythology. But I do not equate white and yellow together from a lightsaber color perspective.
I think they're closer to that. I mean, like, they are not red and not
blue green, or purple. Purple, of course, is the best of the lightsaber colors. Mm.
That's a one man basically forced that to happen, which I love.
And I respect that.
I respect that man immensely. So in some ways, let me put it this way. Yes, nothing happens in this episode. I think I liked it better than last week's episode. For me, I enjoyed it more. I was more engaged in what was happening. And part of it was maybe trying to figure out what's going on and why are we doing all this. To your question about the testing, Kat, the headcanon that I had about that was like, not everybody knows how to run those, but like whatever the Jedi are doing, they have like the knowledge of it.
They do have not invested in medical technology in this universe.
Correct. Like the people on Kamino and the people at Tantus, probably all the scientists there have it, but it's not like you can like buy one off the like an MCAT test off the shelf. And so I think the point of Ventress is like her poking around and trying to find a way to do that. She may not even know if there's a blood test or not.
I mean, Ventress is not like somebody who came up through the Jedi Order and then left, right? So she does, her knowledge of the Force seems like probably a lot of self-taught,
Or taught by Count Dooku, which are...
It was
cool having having, and this I think goes to our conversation of like how well known and understood are the Jedi by your average person in the universe. Mm-hmm. It was very cool to see Omega seeing a Jedi do something awesome, such as Ventress turning mm-hmm. away the sea turtle. It's probably, as Dana was pointing out to me while watching, that she's probably seen Jedi before coming to visit Kamino to pick up their illicit
clones.
And
she did specifically use the word midichlorian.
Yep.
And there was even the kind of thing where she talked about the Force and the clones were like, whoa, is that related to the Jedi? And it's like, oh yeah, you get like, so the average person, or at least the average clone in Star Wars, doesn't think about this stuff at all. Yeah. Basically, it doesn't have the vocabulary.
So I'm curious, Tony, why else did you, other than, tell us more, because I think we've been telling you like why we liked it. Why did you not like this episode? Or have we convinced you that it was the best episode
I think
ever?
I was very annoyed by the ending thing where, I guess, I think the part where Ventress kind of lies and then is not just open with like, what does this mean? Or why am I saying any of this? Was annoying to me. I guess that as a concluding moment,
I was
soured a lot of it to me.
I was definitely expecting a stinger at the end to be like, oh, and her calling someone to pass on the news, but
yeah,
it faded. I was surprised where it faded to black.
I guess here's how I read that is one,
too similar to the previous episode. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, a little bit. And I think part of her is trying to spare Omega because, again, she probably sees some reflection of her history in that as somebody who was sort of taken advantage of.
I felt like that was a clear way to read that, like, if she was Force sensitive, she would need to be taken away, and you don't want that, so that's why I told her that, but that's not what she said to them.
Yeah, and I get that. Right? I think they wanted her to be a little cagey, and I understand that also potentially makes it unclear. But I guess she's also kind of a jerk, so.
I know. I mean, that's what makes this whole episode tricky is like, again, it's like, why are you here, Ventress? What is your motivation?
I do want to know that. Like, I am fascinated.
Because if you're, and that comes back to my, it's like, you know, I mean, this is a character that's a big deal to people that was in the like promotional material. And it's like, are you just passing through this world to check a box and you know, show like, hey, this character's still alive so that we can do other stuff with them, and we got a warehouse full of Ventress action figures we got to move, or do you have something to say? Because I guess I was waiting for that. I mean, in your comic book kind of thing, right, you have the thing where the people who are actually on the same team, they meet up and they fight because there's some foolish misunderstanding, and then they like, okay, let's actually talk this out, and they never had the talk it out moment, right? Like, I guess that was, and I guess it's a little hard to like imagine that coming from Ventress, but I guess I just wanted a version of that. And you know, it could be her being like, look, I've seen awful things, you want to protect her from that, don't let her know that she has an M count, or her M count might be low, but like clearly her blood shows potential or something, and so that's why they. I mean, again, it's like the weird thing. It's like there's the almost conundrum in there where it's like the Empire. We know that the Empire wants her. The character knows that the Empire wants her. Like, is that why is that still a mystery? I guess.
So I still have the hypothesis, and I actually think someone on our Discord was thinking along the same lines I was of, we have always equated thinking about like blood types and universal donors and universal carriers, and thinking about the reason is not necessarily that she has M count. It's the fact that she has the ability to allow someone else to do that in the cloning, right?
Yeah.
That, like, and that's probably getting a little more techie and wonky than the show is likely to be. But that is also something I was thinking about actually a while ago, and we've just never talked about. And I know someone on Discord had that. Had some thought of like, there's a chance that maybe she isn't high in M count, but she would, using her blood, would allow someone who is high in M count to actually reproduce and carry that.
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, we know also that something was in the blood test, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the blood test of like, if they were doing blood tests, it's not a high M count, then the answer could be the reason that she's not force sensitive is because she herself is not, but she is sort of the link that you need in order to make a force. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's tricky because we kind of don't really. I feel like, you know, Star Wars has played fast and loose with like, what science. Does it mean to be force, science, but also what does it mean to be force sensitive? And the Ahsoka show kind of has muddied that a lot further in where we have the character of Sabine Wren basically training to be a Jedi,
mm-hmm.
who has not actually shown any force sensitivity, right? And so it's like,
she does,
can you
one
train
thing at the very end?
Does
right?
she do one thing at the very end? I thought we kept waiting for it. It didn't happen.
I thought there too. Was something in that last fight, but now
yeah,
I don't
think
remember.
So too. But
yeah,
whatever.
So there's the like, you know, I mean, maybe she is training in the like battle meditation and martial arts aspect of being a Jedi, even if she's never going to be throwing lightning around. Mm-hmm. And, hey, maybe you shouldn't just throw lightning everywhere. That's bad. And then you have perhaps say like Rey, who has like super high force abilities and is kind of able to just discover stuff. But I feel like there is kind of a natural, I don't know, it kind of matches to like the X-Men, where it's like you're a teenager and you're put in some moment of stress and you're able to access the force to like save your life.
Yep.
And you know, maybe Omega is just not old enough, but it's like, how many life or death situations have we placed this child in?
Yeah.
Well, we have that. I mean, we've been talking about this since the first episode of this show, because there is a scene at the very early
when
on
boarding the plane, the ship,
the plane, the marauder.
She does do something that
she
seems
shoots. Like, she makes a shot that she should not be able to make.
Yeah.
Very like the first episode, and like that was the one
and
that
she
all
bonds
sent us
with animals. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I honestly do think my thinking is that she does have a high M count. Doesn't necessarily, as Ventress herself says, doesn't necessarily mean that you can be a Jedi or are a Jedi. You have to do all the training and everything, but like you have the potential to be.
Yeah.
And
necessary, but not sufficient.
Yeah. And so I think that this is like, and the thing that's the most important that comes out of this is her telling them at the end, like, people know where you are. You should, you need to go. Because, you know, irrelevant.
I found you in like a week.
Yeah.
So
irrelevant. You know? What anybody knows about Omega and her M count, they are looking for you and you need to leave.
Yeah, that was cool.
And like, and also, A, you're easy to find. B, there's a bunch of really nice people that live here who are going to get hurt if, you know, when people come looking for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I enjoyed it. I was entertained throughout watching the entire episode. I never questioned, why am I watching this? What is going on?
Well, I'm on a podcast every week, so I have to talk about it.
That's fair. But I can also say, I agree with you, Tony, that like, I think the jury on this one is slightly out, depending on where they go the show.
And,
but I did
enjoy
it. It was
maybe
fine.
My words were harsh. I feel like this season in general has been pretty good. And so I feel like this, maybe it's just the way this one played out after the last one felt a little too fillery for me. And I mean, you know, I guess I am not somebody who is like, yes, more Asajj Ventress. That's what I need in my life.
So you're not a Ventress fan, Stan?
I guess no. Okay. We call them goths, but no. you know, it's fine. It's not. I guess it's not. It's not a bad episode. I'm just disappointed.
I enjoyed the design of the character. I enjoyed the fights.
Fights were great. The hand to hand combat was excellent.
It was very fun to watch her. Actually very neatly take
you know
apart
when
all
when somebody
them.
Uses their mind to make your guns like fly away from you,
you probably shouldn't.
I would surrender or be like, can we talk about this and not like let's punch each other.
I also appreciate the show knowing when to cut and when to focus on something, the fact that they're fighting, and then when Omega comes back, it's Hunter on the ground with a lightsaber to his neck, and Hunter Wrecker held up,
Wrecker's up in
choked.
The air.
It's like, that's great. I didn't need to see how you got here,
we didn't need
but this
to see
is a great moment to come in on.
Yeah. I will add a thing that I just thought about as I was reading some of the commentary on our episode, or on this episode on the Discord. You know, and we were talking about the blood testing. I think there's also an interesting argument that the Jedi would not want most people to have access to that technology.
Well, because it would be like... Yeah, people.
You don't want people
to, like,
running around testing themselves,
Jedi.
Being like, "Hey, I'm full of M count." Like, "Hey, like," for a variety of reasons. I can see why.
I'm a self-appointed Jedi.
The Jedi who are hiding.
Later on, for sure. But even
my
in the days when they're
has a high M count, I need to hide them before.
Yeah,
the
or
Jedi come
or
and steal
I, my
child
has a high M count. Can they get into Jedi Harvard? You know. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's called the Academy.
I'm gonna guess we don't do the recap this episode because at this
we've already done it.
Silly.
Yeah.
If there's any other points people want to make about it,
how do we feel about moonlighting this week?
You want some mail?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We got an email. This is to acp@theincomparable.com, which is where you can send us your emails and ask us questions, and we will read them on the show. Eric writes in. I may be the 99th person to mention this, but clones can age at different rates. At the end of season 1, when they go back to Kamino, Omega reveals that she's older than the Bad Batch. The phasing out of the clones after just a few years of action also suggests that the cloners set a clone's aging rate at creation and can't adjust it. But plot, or a Dave Filoni plot hole-filling urge, could always intervene. P.S. Thanks for being everybody's Star Wars pals, and no mention of that show that 40-something me had never heard of before.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the only email this week, but we also had a couple. I'm just checking to make sure I didn't miss any. A couple posts on Mastodon, where you can find us at acp@zeppelin.flights. Rob wrote in to say, in reference to last week's Bad Batch episode, I thought Hunter telling Omega to get Crosshair's hand checked was a clever bit. In two short sentences, the writers tell us that Hunter is worried about Crosshair and that he's smart enough to give Omega a job so she won't try to come on the mission. Very economical.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I thought that's solid point. Good, tight
also,
writing.
That Hunter knows that Crosshair won't listen to him, but he will listen to Omega.
Yeah.
So, triple threat.
Yeah, there's a nice bit this week where Omega talks about giving people second chances, and of course they have a very, you know, they come out and say it a moment later, but like even the framing shot of the way they shoot at Crosshair has got his toothpick, and he's like, "You're being naive," and Omega's like, "Am I?"
Well, I like that he doesn't initially realize that she means him. She has to then say it, and he's like, "Oh yeah, kid's got a point.
I didn't give up on you." Yeah. Ben writes,
the look on his face when in reaction to that is some pretty awesome animation where you know, for a nonverbal emotional reaction, it's some pretty good animation acting, basically.
Ben writes, I'm old enough to have watched an episode or two of Moonlighting, but young enough to be bored. I'm also old enough to remember when, quote, I don't know, unquote, would get a bucket of green slime dumped on you. Parentheses, that's a reference. Therefore, I'm enclosing a sizable check to cover the increased production costs associated with Dan's news catchphrase.
Okay.
Which I believe is a reference to, you can't say that on
television.
Do that. I loved that television show.
Back
that
in the day when
I didn't have cable.
People just dump slime on everybody.
Oh, slime
all the time.
Was everywhere.
That was what it meant to be a child. Slime, mutagen, just free flowing.
30%. We were talking about this on our Biff episode this week of the X-Men 97. Like 30% of the growing up in the 90s is lasers. I think a 30% is slime. I don't know what the last 30% is. Neon slap bracelets.
I don't know.
Trapper keepers.
Trapper keepers.
What do you keep in those trapper keepers? Slime and lasers. Slime.
really messy.
Lisa Frank.
Yeah.
Dave writes
in. Let her out.
Dave writes in, and kudos to Dave for rot-13ing his post to me so that I didn't get spoiled.
What a classy person. Classy.
He said, in this week's episode, the moment I saw the boat, I thought, there's always a bigger fish.
Yeah.
True. Oh, more Phantom Menace references in this episode.
Phantom Menace.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. There's multiple menaces. Some
it's like
them
the Bernstein Bears. So it's going to actually call it a Phantom Menace.
Oh, what is the name of that? Mandela Effect? You're Mandela affecting this?
Yes.
Mm. Trevor writes in.
Tell us, Trevor.
Saw the latest episode of Bad Batch. I'm conflicted about whether to ask you a question about Star Wars and why is the lightsaber yellow, or to continue the troublesome trend of people continuing to drag out the increasingly exhausting moonlighting bit. We must ask ourselves:
When does a thing go from being a bit to just being what your podcast is about?
and
was that three episodes ago?
And it can come back around, right? It's one of those things that it's funny and then it gets exhausted and then it's funny again
not been funny in a while. We still keep going.
Well, it also, at some point, we will, in a subsequent season, when there's a long enough gap, we will forget about it. In the same way that I was mentioning the Qui-Gon Jinn promotion before, which
I think, of course,
that was like four shows ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
To finish Trevor's comment, we must ask ourselves, is talking about a wildly popular, yet strangely obscure piece of 1980s nostalgia more important than our favorite animated extension of George Lucas's space mythology? Love the podcast. Thanks, Trevor. It's a great question.
Thanks,
I don't have an answer to it, but we're talking less about Moonlighting.
Yeah, this week at least. I think we are going to do...
And we talked about yellow lightsabers. So yeah, what do they mean?
Yeah, we did. Again, I think our member special this year may be watching Moonlighting. I still do want to do basically us doing a voice over of A New Hope. I do have all the
Kat,
rules.
You have to be
out.
Really careful when you tell people about these plans. That's like there's a promise in it that makes things happen. It puts pressure on us. That's, you know, all of my Total Party Kill member specials. Those I don't tell anyone about those.
I will nobody. Do all the prep work. All you have to do is show up, draw some names out of a hat virtually.
A hat? I don't have time for hats.
I will assign them characters
find
to
an effing
you.
Hat?
I will assign characters to you. And let you know 5 minutes before the show who you will be doing the voice.
That seems extremely reasonable. It is making me very hard for me to complain about it.
Yes. Yes.
I have been managed.
Wow. And then we have one last one from Lyle. Lyle writes, the new episode is so well written, really satisfying. It's a word.
Do you work with words for a living?
It's actually hard to read when I have the mic in front of my face, so hold on.
Sorry, do you podcast for a living too?
Are you talking to me or Tony?
I wouldn't call it a living.
The new episode is so well written, really satisfying to see them doing so well here. Am I biased because it's Ventress? There's your stand. Of course, but I feel like they are doing the character justice here. Love the Nine Lives reference here. Lothcat reference, I guess.
Lothcat. Yeah, okay. So I put it out then to our listeners. If any of you are Ventress stands, please help me understand why.
People
I don't
like mysterious space assassins.
I mean, people like every character. I mean...
There's someone for everybody.
I get that, but I want to know...
I remember when our friend... We saw a Phantom Menace, the Phantom Menace, and... Evan declared himself a Captain Panaka fan. I don't think that... does that character have more than two lines of dialogue?
He doesn't come back either.
Yeah.
No. And Evan is like, that's my guy. And I was like, okay.
Mine is Blue Leader from Rogue One.
It's true.
Yeah. So like,
I love that actor from his time in...
Then there's me who likes things that are good, but we all have our things.
Everyone has a reason for, I mean, sometimes there's just like a deep connection across the silver screen and you're just like, I don't know why, but I just love that person. But then there's a rationale, and I'm curious, for people who love Ventress, I want to understand why, because I just don't get it. Okay.
Ventress has way more time and character development than, say, Wedge Antilles.
Wedge Antilles has 9 books.
That are all decanonized.
Doesn't matter. At the time when I like sort of formed this connection,
I mentioned one of the Wedge books before. And you were annoyed and dismissive.
I was. Maybe.
She didn't want it. She didn't want to give up her she didn't want to give up the illusion. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Look, you like what you like. You don't have to explain or defend it. But if you could explain it, that would help, Kat.
Yeah, no, my greatest frustration of Rogue One, which I think is my favorite of the latest Star Wars movies, I am still very upset that they just... there's almost like a perfunctory killing a Blue Leader. And it just feels like they never give that death enough
credit.
I
really thought you were going to talk about how you didn't like that there is a dearth of other women in that movie.
Oh,
and that's really important.
Yeah,
but you're like, oh, the greatest injustice is that they kill Blue Leader.
I have definitely talked about this. It makes no sense to me. I don't know what happens in Rogue One when they're storming the Basilica or whatever it is. And there's not a single woman in the entire ground group, right? There's no one. It's just the main character whose
Jin.
Name Jin. Just
Qui-Gon Jin or so.
Qui-Gon Jin. There are no women. You could have had a woman in the background, and there's no one there. It's like I still want to know someone who was doing the casting who's like, you know what? For extras, we're not gonna have any women for this one.
Is this
why?
Is this the right time to have bring up my Justice for Porkins campaign or
I mean, we know why Blue Leader gets killed so that there's no Blue Leader in Star Wars A New Hope.
And it's all a Easter egg anyways, because in the early versions, they're supposed to be red Squadron, supposed to be Blue Squadron, but it didn't show up on the green screen.
Blue screens back then.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
We hadn't invented the color green yet.
We hadn't invented the color green yet. It was a simpler time. The 70s, you know?
Again, no women in Rogue One in the Maldives.
Consistent with every other Star Wars movie from the 70s and 80s, which there's also a surprising dearth of women. They're really trying to channel that.
But the movie was made in what? 2016, 17?
That was a joke, Kat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There may not have been women in 1970, but there are now women everywhere.
Once again, women were not invented until 1980. We didn't have
them. It is. Like, why are there no women stormtroopers? What's going on there?
Except for Captain Phasma.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, except for Captain Phasma.
Yeah. Again, it is really weird.
It is weird.
It's so weird.
The gender dynamics in Star Wars are, you should definitely Either you should spend more time thinking about them. Like, we should not have to think this much about it, but the people writing about it should have to think about it more.
there is some challenging things to, like, let us do all our world building in the 70s and 80s and then never question that, basically.
Yeah. I mean, there's the good stuff and the bad stuff. Like, I'm completely okay with the bad guys having British accents on them. That seems totally...
That just makes sense. That's science.
That's...
I mean, let's also not look at the representation of people of color versus, say, aliens.
Oh my god, I am still amazed that it's very sad, but I get it, why people were so upset that we had a black stormtrooper. It's like, what?
people are weird.
Anyways, weirdly no enough, one in Rogue One.
That's all I got.
I think that was all
Ventress. I want to know why people like Ventress. Well,
I mean, people love assassins and bounty hunters. They love the spooky, shadowy side of Star Wars. Remember, there's this obscure character called Boba Fett who has like four lines of dialogue, and then people have like full back tattoos of him. So
really,
yeah,
I'm checking that. Cool.
His name is Evan. You've met him.
Does he really have a back tattoo?
No.
He does not.
No. I'll ask him. Anyway.
He just has a signed, framed photo of Jeremy Bullock in his office. He's totally reasonable.
I'll ask him next time I see him. I mean, those very well may be the reasons that you listener like Ventress. But if they're not the reasons, I'm still curious.
Well. We have 6 episodes left in this show.
How many of them do we think are going to be filler? I think another 2.
I don't think any of them are filler.
Mm.
I mean, it depends. What do you consider filler? The debate over what is filler, I think, is a fraught discussion.
What is filler?
That's the thing. People get really mad about what is and is not a bottle episode because people have started referring to things as bottle episodes that are not bottle episodes. Like, is this a bottle episode because it all takes place on Babu? No, that word has no meaning in animation. Why are you doing this? So
a bottle episode is an episode where you're trying to save money by using all the same sets you already have.
Yes, specifically. Dan, that is the actual definition of bottle episode.
You're trapped in an elevator together or something.
Specifically, it's anything. Yeah. For example, your bottle episodes of Star Trek are when don't go anywhere. Yeah. It's on the bridge. There's no new sets. They don't even go to the cave set that they've used
those
before.
Those are often really good episodes because you're riding within a constraint. All right,
I'm just saying, you two are now part of the elite upper levels of society who knows what a bottle episode is, as opposed to most of the rest of the internet who does not, who refers to lots of things that are not bottle episodes as bottle episodes.
Now have Sting's message in a bottle stuck in my head.
I was gonna make a joke about how it originated with that episode of Star Trek where they are in the ship is in a bottle. There's an episode called Ship in a Bottle with Moriarty. It has nothing to do with that.
Really?
That is not a good example of that because they have to make all the sets.
It's not a bottle
in the holodeck.
This is running and we're talking about Injustice. Here's one. Okay.
All right, Injustice corner.
No.
It's fine. We're under time.
TNG, and this is my other sort of like.
people love when we talk about Star Trek on our Star Wars.
The
podcast.
Warp Core has invaded this podcast as well.
Mm. So Dan and I were recently watching.
Dan, I don't think people listen to your other podcast.
That's fine.
I meant people that listen to this podcast. I don't mean all.
No, I took it as intended and feel.
Oh no, I listen to your other podcast, and you know what? I retract it all. Kat, please continue.
Oh no, this is entirely irrelevant, and now I'm like very embarrassed. But no,
it's about Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Yeah, Star Trek: The Next Generation, which I love.
This
great
is important.
Show. Love it. Grew up on it. It was like what I watched every night in syndication, and like
where were your parents?
Every episode watching it with me.
Okay. That explains a lot.
Yeah, no, huge Trekkies. We actually went to the Space and Air Museum down in DC when I was like 7 or 8, and we were down there partially for a Star Trek convention. Anyways, where I'm going with this is in the awesome episode that's the Robin Hood episode in TNG.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cupid?
Sure. I don't remember the episode name. Both Beverly Crusher and Deanna Troi, I believe, are the only two people on the cast who are actually trained in stage fighting.
And they have to throw pots at people.
Yes. Yeah. They don't get weapons. Again, why? It makes no sense. It doesn't make sense. I don't get it.
Patrick Stewart must have been trained.
Patrick Stewart is
nobody else, but yeah. Because he's classically trained.
He is. And like Patrick Stewart is amazing. But it's again one of those things of just like, why not take advantage of what you have? Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's my every time I think of TNG, as much as I love the show, that's the injustice I was thinking now.
I always like, I think of that, and then I think of the episode of Deep Space Nine where they play baseball, and the one actor who is Rom, actually played college baseball, and so in order to act that he is bad at baseball, he does it all like with his other hand.
He bats the other way, yeah,
okay, that's
because,
cool.
because he's too good.
He's too good
yeah.
to convincingly act at bat. He's too good bad. At baseball and too just okay an actor to act at being bad at baseball. So
love Master Check.
Anyway, that is only tangentially related to your story. About
it builds on like fun facts about Star Trek that directly
these
Star
are
Wars.
Your fun facts about Star Trek that you did not ask for in your Star Wars podcast.
We're mixing, but we're crossing the streams now to talk about Ghostbusters. all right. Well, we will be back. So next week we have our, I believe, the last twofer of the season. So we will have two episodes to discuss: Identity Crisis and the not at all ominously named Point of No Return.
Point of a return?
Yes. Point of the return. So two episodes there, followed by our last four each 1 week, ending right before May 4th, as we've mentioned before. Could there be a reason? Who knows? No one knows. Not us.
Where they announce a new Asajj Ventress show.
it is possible.
Asajj Ventress trains Omega. Ooh, that is a... I have questions. Anyway, we're done.
is that how we end the podcast
in
now?
General.
Just in general.
Goodbye.
We're finished.
Yeah.
Good riddance.
Stop listening now.
thank you, everybody out there who sent in letters and posted to us on Mastodon. Once again, you can email us at acp@theincomparable.com. Or find us on Mastodon at acp@zeppelin.flights. We'd like to thank all our listeners and especially members who support this show by going to theincomparable.com/members and signing up for membership. You can send some money to this show as well as any other shows you like on the network. And by doing so, you get access to a ton of great perks, including special episodes with no ads for the mothership, bootleg episodes that come out before the release, bonus content for a bunch of different shows, and access to our Incomparable members Discord. It's a lot of fun. I believe it starts at $7 a month now. I think that was the current price.
We're well prepared for these ad reads. Yeah,
I know. I'm just doing this off the cuff. So go to theincomparable.com/members and thank you. And of course, more than that, I'd like to thank my co-hosts who are always a delight to talk to. Kat Benesch, thank you for being here and talking about Star Trek.
My pleasure. Thank you guys for listening. This is, I don't know why folks listen to us, but we have a lot of fun doing this. And honestly, half the time I figure we're doing a podcast and not just chatting. Easily.
Yeah.
Which says a lot.
That explains a lot.
Tony Sindelar, always a pleasure.
I want to point out that I am always aware that I am on a podcast. Thank you for
non-stop
listening.
All you do, Tony's podcast.
Always.
24/7.
You're never more,
Truman Show.
Never more than 2 feet from a podcast.
Help.
thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We'll be back next week. But until then, may the force be with you.
And with you.
Oh, God, why?
The Incomparable Podcast Network. Become a member and support this show today. TheIncomparable.com/members.